I appreciate the messages we just heard a few minutes ago. And I'm thankful anytime we have a chance to open the Word of God and listen to what the Lord has to say, we ought to do so. Amen. Ought to hear it and receive it with a joyful heart. Amen. Well, I haven't been blessed with the talents, the musical talents and the voice like Brother Terry has. But I'd say my favorite singers today are my sons. I have to say I'm a little prejudiced there, you know, and show favoritism towards them. But it used to be my favorite singer was Brother Lester Roloff. He is to me a hero of the faith and one of the men which I thought a lot of. I believe he was greatly used by God. And he's like all of us. He wasn't perfect, but nevertheless, Brother Roloff was a dear man. I thank the Lord for the opportunity I had to know him a little bit before he passed away. But he used to sing from his heart, and when he sang. And he wasn't a great singer, but boy, he sang from his heart. And so many of the songs that he sang as an evangelist, I've picked up and been singing on the road for quite a few years now. And this is one of my favorites, and I trust it'll be a blessing to you. If you knew Brother Roloff, you know this song. There waits for me a glad tomorrow, where gates of pearl swing open wide. And when I've passed this veil of sorrow, I'm gonna dwell upon the other side. Someday beyond the reach of mortal kin, someday God only knows just where and when the wheels of mortal life shall all stand still, and I shall go to dwell on Zion's hill. Someday I'm gonna hear the angels singing beyond the shadow of that old lonely tomb. And all the bells of heaven, they're gonna be ringing while saints are singing home sweet home. Someday beyond the reach of mortal kin, someday God only knows just where and when the wheels of mortal life shall all stand still. And I shall go to dwell on Zion's hill. Someday my labors will be ended, and all my wanderings will be o'er, and all earth's broken ties will be mended, and I shall sigh and weep no more. Someday these dark clouds will be rifted, and all the night of gloom be past, and all life's heavy burdens, they're gonna be lifted. The day of rest shall dawn at last. Someday beyond the reach of mortal kin, someday God only knows just where and when the wheels of mortal life shall all stand still. And I shall go to dwell on Zion's hill. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles this afternoon. Amen. He's there. Amen. And it ain't going to be long. Amen. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 22. I keep getting nervous. Last night I got a little nervous. And not when I was preaching. I got nervous when Brother Fidena was preaching. He started to preach a message I'm preaching tonight. And it was just an introduction. And then today I got real nervous because you were all over another message that I'm going to be preaching. And I'm going to be preaching a bunch on Elijah this week. Amen. And well, I tell you what, you were all over. Amen. Amen. You were all over. And I was like, well, brother, you go ahead and you just take her and run with it. That's all right with me. Amen. And I was excited. I wasn't nervous, really. I was excited to hear what you were saying last night. You were all, well, you'll know tonight. Amen. We'll just leave it at that. But, well, I tell you what, the Word of God is so full, isn't it? I mean, to tell you what, some of you dear brothers have been preaching a lot longer than I have. And, boy, I've come to know this. Man, you can't even begin to tap all the riches in the Word of God. And I've never, I'm sure nobody in here does this, but I know men that do. You know, I've never had to go to quicksermons.com, if there is such a thing, I don't know. But, you know, I found this to be the case in my life. Every message that I've ever preached, with the exception of three messages, every message I've ever preached, I got in my personal devotion time with the Lord. And I remember one time, not that long after I got in the ministry, God called me to preach, and I decided one day in the afternoon, I thought, I'm going to get in the book, Brother Terry, and I'm going to get me a good message. And I got in the Bible, and I mean, tell you what, I just started reading the Word of God. I was in search of a good message, and I mean, I spent hours, and I couldn't, nothing. I thought, good night, I can't believe this. The next day I was having my personal devotions. I wasn't reading the Bible 5 minutes. And I mean, the Lord gave me one of the most tremendous messages I've ever preached. And by the way, every message I've ever preached isn't my message, it's His message, amen. I mean, He gave it to me, and He authored it, amen. But I thought, good night, I spent hours yesterday in the Word of God looking for a good message, and bam, there it is. And the Lord stopped me, and He said, son, He said, you open that book in search of a good message and you're going to come up empty-handed. He said, son, you open that book looking for me. And He said, you'll have more messages than you have time to preach them. And boy, I tell you what, God's true to His Word. Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. I want to just read these two verses, and I'm going to let you remain seated. I like to stand for the reading of the Word of the Lord. I'm going to let you remain seated and get right into preaching. Let's pray first. Father, I ask You now in Jesus' name that You'd help me. Lord, I pray that You'd give me what I need this afternoon to be an encouragement to these that have come. Lord, it's difficult days we're living in. And Lord, just the absence of people in the church house this afternoon is a testimony to what's going on out there. Lord, the moment we think we don't need preaching, the moment we don't desire the Word of God, we've got serious problems. Lord, I pray my focus is not on who's not here, but my focus is on who is here. And Lord, I'm thankful that there's some people that love You enough, they've thought it important enough to gather around the Word of God this afternoon. Oh God, we'd sure be pleased if You'd show up here again. Lord, we thank You for Your presence and Your power that's been evidenced in the last two messages, Lord. Things that have been said have touched and spoken in my heart. Lord, I pray now that You'd encourage the brethren in this hour as well, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says in Genesis 22 and in verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and He said unto him, Abraham, and He said, behold, here I am. And He said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of these mountains, which I will tell thee of. I want to talk to you this afternoon, and preach to you, I should say, on this message title, Raising the Knife. I like this passage, Brother Terry, because, you know, every single one of us that have been called upon by God To serve the Lord has been called upon by God not just to serve, but to sacrifice. We've heard a little bit about that in some of the messages that have been preached on earlier this week. And I believe this with all of my heart. The call to serve God is the call to make a sacrifice. And I talked a little bit about the call of God and the voice of God in Sunday school on Sunday morning. And you know, we remember the story of that young lad by the name of Samuel. He didn't say, "Here I am." He said, "Here am I." And I can say this without any apprehension. The heart of Samuel is very much likened to where we see the heart here of Abraham in Genesis chapter 22. And he responds when God calls upon him and he says, "Here I am." And what he was saying is, "Lord, I'm right here. I'm ready, I'm willing, I'm wanting to do whatever it is that you're asking or going to ask me to do," even though he had no clue what God was going to call upon him to do. Just like Samuel, Abraham had an absolute willingness in his heart and an absolute wantingness in his heart to do the will of God. And I want you to notice these three things, and I won't be long today, but I'm going to just give you these three things, and then we're going to conclude here this afternoon. I want you to see, first of all, the call of Abraham. I want you to notice that when God called Abraham in verse 1, the Bible says he responded by saying, "Here I am." I believe Abraham answered the call with a willing heart. But I also want you to see this. I believe Abraham answered the call of God with a heart of faith. He answered by faith. In so much that he said, "Lord, here I am." He said, "Lord, whatever it is that you want me to do, Lord, whatever it is that you're asking me to do, Lord, whatever it is that you are about to beckon me to do, I want you to know I am here, I am ready, I am willing, and I am wanting to do it." Without knowing the call and without knowing what God was going to ask him to do, brother, he answered by faith. Samuel did as well. And it's interesting to me how so many times people today will say, "Lord, I hear you beckoning unto me. Well, God, you go ahead and let me know what it is you want me to do, and then I'll decide whether or not I'm going to do it." That's not what God's looking for today. Hey, we talk a lot about living by faith, amen. We want to emphasize what Romans 1:17 has to say, but we ain't doing much living by faith today. I mean, the truth of the matter is today, we're a far distance away from where we ought to be in this matter of living by faith. Hey, living by faith is not just walking down a road where we can't see the end of it. It involves sometimes answering by faith, and that means having a heart that's ready to do whatever it is God wants you to do, even though you don't know what it is. And I want you to see the call of Abraham. He answered by faith, but he answered with a willing heart. I remember in the book of Exodus, we won't turn to the sake of time, I remember God came to Moses and he was talking about the offerings and those things that were going to be given for the work of the Lord. And God said, "If any man that giveth it, what? Willingly, he shall take that offering." Now, pastors get nervous when I say this, but you know what? Money put in the offering plate grudgingly, hey, you know what ought to be taken back out? We don't need that offering, amen. I don't get very many amens when I say that, amen. Preachers, yes, we do, Brother Carolyn. Shut up and move on, amen. But you know, the truth of the matter, we don't need it. Amen. God is able to supply the need, is he not? Amen. Do we believe that? Or do we just preach it in vain? Hey, listen, God is interested in an offering that is given willingly today. And when we take a dollar or ten or 10,000 and put it in the offering plate, it ought to be done with a cheerful heart and it ought to be done willingly. There's an offering that God can use. And Abraham answered the call of God so willingly. He said, "Here I am," just like Samuel. He said, "Lord, don't know what you want." He said, "Lord, don't know what you're going to ask me to do." And boy, I'll tell you what, hey, in the ministry, you just never know what God's going to ask you to do next, amen. You're not really certain what's going to come around the corner. But we got to always keep our heart in check today, brethren, and make absolutely certain that we don't go stale in our service to God. Let us never get into a groove, amen, whereby we're not willing to be responsive to God's beckoning voice. And let us never get in a groove whereby our heart has become hardened against walking and living by faith. Listen to me. He answered willingly, and God said, hey, listen, I'm not interested unless somebody's answering. Well, you know, we've all heard this saying, a call to preach is a call to prepare. I have somewhat of an argument with that statement. So why so, Brother Curl? I'm going to tell you something tonight. A call to preach isn't necessarily a call to prepare. I'm going to tell you something tonight. God never calls an unprepared person to preach the gospel. Amen. You say, does that mean that the moment somebody gets called to preach, they know all the doctrines of the Word of God and they're very well rehearsed in the Word? No. I'm not talking about going on and studying, but I'm going to tell you what, the preparation of the heart is essential, preceding the call of God. I heard somebody one time give it a testimony about how God beat them over the head, twisted their arm up behind their back, tried calling them to preach, and they didn't want nothing to do with it, and God kept on calling them and calling them and calling them and persisted and all these things, and finally they said, all right! I scratched my head, I said, I don't know about all that. I've learned this about God. God searches the hearts of mankind and He looks for willing vessels, amen. That's scripturally sound preaching. He looks for a heart that's prepared, amen. He says, now there's somebody I can use. There's a heart that's hard after me. There's somebody who wants to do what I want them to do. I think I'll use them, amen. God doesn't find someone who's all resisting against His will, resisting against His way, and resisting against His word, and say, now there's a person I can use. That's not the way God operates. That would be contrary to the doctrine of the Word of God as was established in the beginning periods of the Old Testament. He said, I'm looking for somebody who's willing to give, who's wanting to give willingly, amen. And we see Abraham, he answered the call, amen. Every one of us that's in the ministry here this afternoon remembers when God began to call or when God knocked on the door of our heart. He said, I want you to preach. I want you to do this or do that. Not everybody in here has been called to preach, but you know what? We've all been called by God to do something. I've said this a million times, if I've said it once, every Christian has a ministry. Every Christian has a ministry. And I want you to see this. I'm going to move forward now, but you've got to see the call, amen. And the Bible said he answered it. Verse 2, the Bible said, God said to him, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering. He said, Abraham, he said, why don't you take your son Isaac? And he said, you need a little bit of a break. And he said, get out the old fishing poles, amen. And there's a creek up yonder. And he said, boy, it's loaded with some of the biggest brown trout you could ever imagine, amen. And a beautiful brook trout. Why don't you guys go and have yourself a camping trip and do a little father and son fishing expedition, amen. He didn't say that. He just said, I want you to take your son out into the wilderness and I want you to train him for 6 months intensely for this or that. No, he didn't tell it. He said, take your only son whom you love. By the way, Abraham knew not only was it the son he loved, but it was the promised seed, amen, promise from God. He said, I want you to take that son. I want you to kill him. Boy, you think about this. Not only did he ask him to slay his son on an altar, but you know what he did? He said, I want you to make him a burnt offering. Don't think I could do that with my boys. I'm going to stand here and I'm going to preach today and tell you I love God, I trust God, my faith is in God. But boy, I tell you what, when I look at this, I say, how? How? And the truth of the matter is, what Abraham was called to do is exceedingly far more than any one of us has ever been called to do in the ministry. Hey, there's some that have even testified today what it's like to lose a child. Man, how difficult that must be. I can't even imagine that. But to take that child's life at your own hand, Pastor Gilmore. Listen, nobody in this room has ever been asked by God to do something like that. No one has ever been asked to sacrifice like that. But look at the way we are today in regard to the call of God. Oh, Lord. You want me to do what? Lord, you want me to start a soul winning program where we have to go out an hour a week and knock on doors? Lord, it's hot out in the summertime. And then go in the winter, it snows. Lord, do you really want me to make that kind of a sacrifice? How about if we just sit back in our office, amen,
And we'll work on our website and sort of boost that up a little bit. Maybe somebody will get online and see us and they'll come that way and get saved. Amen. But Lord, to start a soul winning program, that's almost too big of a sacrifice. Lord, you want me to do what? Lord, you want me to give up my comfort? You want me to travel all around America? You want me to live out of a suitcase with a family of four or five or six or whatever? Lord, you want me to do this and do that? Lord, how many years of, you know, I've done this and I've done that? Lord, you want me to what? Move all the way across the nation and start a church from scratch? Lord, do you know what you're asking me to do? Boy, I'll tell you something. We need to have our hearts in such a way that when God calls us, we say, Lord, yes, Lord. By saying, yes, Lord, I don't know what you're going to ask me to do, but Lord, I want you to know I'll do it. That's the kind of faith I have in my God. Amen. And so we see the call of Abraham in this familiar story. Secondly, I want you to see not only the call, but I want you to see this. I want you to see the climb. The Bible says God asked him to go and to slay his son on an altar and make him a burnt offering. And then I want you to notice this. I see again this similarity of what I was preaching on Sunday morning with this young lad known as Samuel. I see that similarity in the life of Abraham. Look at what Abraham did. The Bible says in verse 3, and Abraham rose up. What's that next word? Early. Mind you now, this morning comes on the heels, Brother Terry, of the call of God for him to go kill his son and burn his body. Huh? Hey, the Bible doesn't say the next morning came and Abraham woke up and he thought, oh my, what have I done? Pull the covers back over my head. I ain't getting out of bed today. The Bible doesn't say that. He didn't say, oh, what have I done? What have I agreed to? I'm going back to bed. I'm not getting up. This is a day I'm dreading. No, the Bible said he rose up in the early in the morning. That shows me that he was anxious to go and perform the will of God. You know what's interesting? Everything that God asked him to do is as contrary to our finite mind as it could be. The promised seed through this son, God, you want me to kill him? He's not brought children into this world. I don't understand all this. It doesn't make sense. When you talk about the epitome of walking by faith, this is it. And the Bible said there was no lollygagging around, amen. There wasn't any dilly-dallying, amen. He got up early in the morning, and the Bible says he saddled his ass, and he took two of his young men with him, and Isaac, his son, he said, come on, boys, load up them horses, amen. We riding, amen. We got a job to do for God. Amen. The Bible says they get up, clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. And I like verse 4 where it says, then on the third day. Doesn't say the first day, doesn't say the second day, doesn't say the third day, but it says, then on the third day. Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place. Underscore those words in your mind, afar off. God said, look, I want you to head in this direction. I'll tell you where to park it, amen. But God did not give him definitive instructions as to where he was going to land. He said, you start marching this way, amen. You know what happens today? We start out in the ministry and we're, oh, Lord, I can't see what's going on. Lord, everything seems to be all fuzzy in front of my eyes and nothing seems to be making sense. Abraham didn't march a half a day and said, well, I don't know where the place is that God wants me. This doesn't seem to be familiar. This doesn't seem to be where I ought to be landing. So I'm fixing to turn around and head back. He didn't come to the end of the first day and say, you know what? None of this seems to be making sense to me, and I don't know ultimately where God wants me. I need to have a plan, a visualize in front of me. He didn't do that, neither the second day, neither the third day. It wasn't until the third day sometimes that he finally looked up and he saw the place, and it was afar off. Hey, sometimes ultimately where God wants you to be takes a while to get there, doesn't it? But the journey's made by faith. We see the call of Abraham. We need now to see the climb. You know what we have today? We've got a lot of Christians. This is a good message for Christians today. We have a lot of Christians. They come to tent meetings. They come to revival meetings. They come to missions conference. Oh, Lord, hear my Lord. Send me. Lord, I want to do something for you. Lord, I hear your voice and I want to go and accomplish your will in my life. They answer the call, but that's about as far as it goes. They answer the call of God upon their life, but when it comes to the climb, there isn't much to talk about. Hey, listen, the climb is where the rubber meets the road, amen. Hey, it's great to say, Lord, I hear your voice speaking to me, and Lord, you've told me what you want me to do, and Lord, here am I. It's great to do that. It's great to see people coming to the altar, but that's not where it stops. That's where it starts, amen. I mean, it's the beginning is not what they're doing there at the altar is not the end. I mean, that's the beginning. Hey, listen, what good would it have been if God said, Abraham, I want you to go unto the land that I'll tell you of it. When you get there, you just start marching, amen. When you get there, I'll let you know when you've arrived, amen. And Abraham said, all right, Lord, yes, sir, Lord, you know my heart is willing and wanting and ready. I'm going to go. And then Abraham wakes up the next morning and says, well, I don't know about all that. That's what most Christians would do. They make a commitment to do something that they know God wants them to do, and the next morning they get up and they say, well, you know, maybe I ought to just back up a little bit, Pastor Gilmore. Maybe I ought to pray about this a little bit. Somebody said, one of the preachers said this the other day, I say it a lot when I'm preaching, hey, listen, there's some things you do not need to pray about. Well, you ought to pray about everything. No, you shouldn't. You don't need to pray about whether or not you ought to read your Bible every day. You don't need to pray about whether or not you ought to live righteously. You don't need to pray about whether or not you ought to witness to people. You don't need to pray about whether or not you ought to come to church. Amen. And when you know what God's will is, you don't need to continue to pray about it. When you know it, amen. Abraham knew what God wanted to do. He didn't have to wake up next morning and say, well, I'm going to just pray about this a few. Hey, sometimes we use that pray about it as an excuse. Amen. He knew exactly what God wanted him to do. Hey, if you don't know what God wants you, you better pray about it. Amen. But he knew exactly what the Lord wanted him to do. And so Abraham not only answered the call, but he made the climb. Are you listening? Amen. I'm telling you today what we need is we need some Christians and we need some of the servants of God to get on that mountain, amen, and just climb, amen. So many people today have heard the voice of God. They've answered the call, but they have not begun to climb. And then can I say this to you? Although I do feel to some extent I'm preaching to the choir. A lot of people started climbing, but they just quit. Amen. Somewhere along the way, they decided to give up. Somewhere along the way, they decided to quit. The Bible said, and Abraham rose in verse 3, and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for a burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place and it was still afar off. Amen. That's after 3 days of walking by faith. And the Bible says, and Abraham said, Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again. You know what's interesting? I was just thinking about this. God told him, hey, I want you to take your son and kill him. Look at what he said in verse 5. He said, hey, abide here. And he said, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again. He said, we're leaving. He knew that he was supposed to kill his son Isaac. But he said, we'll be back. Sort of interesting, isn't it? He says, we're going to come again unto you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. He took the fire in his hand and a knife and they went both of them together. And the Bible says, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire in the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. They're continuing on their journey up this mountain that God's told them to go to. We have not arrived when we hear the call of God on our lives. We have not arrived when we begin to make the climb. It is just part of the journey, amen. It is by no means, I've arrived, amen, because here I am on the mountainside. You know, one of the things that I've learned in the ministry is as I continue to climb, and it is by the grace of God and only with the help of God, but as I continue to climb up that mountain that God has told me to climb, that mountain of sacrifice, I've seen some strange things along the way. As I've climbed up that mountain, I've seen some weary travelers that have decided to just sit and they're parked there along that mountainside. They ain't climbing no more. I've seen some skeletal remains of some of those who have died on the side of that mountain. They just gave up. I've seen some footprints that have turned around and gone back down that mountain. Some that began the climb, but somewhere along the way, it just got too tedious. The task got too heavy for them. Hey, the burden became too intense. Listen, you know what happened, amen? They got away from God, amen. Because His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Hey, understand this today. If you stick with the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, He will help you in your climb. And what we need in 2010 is not for men or women to give up. No, hey, listen. Hey, I want you to get this today, and I'm not going to be long. But listen, whether you're in full-time ministry or not, you're a full-time Christian. And there is no business for God's people to quit. Amen. One thing I appreciated when I was in Bible college, my chancellor told us one day in a chapel service, he said, you young man that God has called to preach, he said, when you get out of chapel, you go back to your dormitory room, get your dictionaries out, look up the word quit, take a penknife, and cut it out of the dictionary. There's no quitting for God. And I never forgot that. We don't need quitters today. We need some men today get their blood boiling up through their neck and into their head. Let that old blood pressure rise, amen. Get some determination, some gumption, amen, in their heart and their soul and say, I'm not giving up, I'm not quitting, amen, until this heart ceases to beat, amen, until this body stops growing breath. Hey, I'm going to go on and finish my course, amen. I'm going to run the race till I drop over dead, amen. I'm going to continue to serve God with a fervent spirit. I have substantially serious doubt that I'll ever even live to see 76. But if I do, I want to be able to preach like Brother Fedena can preach when I'm 76 years old. I met an old preacher years ago, and he pastored and then went into evangelism. And he said, Brother Curlin, I said, I thought you were out of ministry. He said, retired, rehired, and refired. Amen. I said, praise the Lord, amen. Keep going. Boy, I tell you what, old Abraham was climbing. You don't hear anything in the story about how Abraham quit halfway up the mountain. But we got a lot of Christians today who quit. We even got a lot of preachers and we evangelists see that happening all over America. We got a lot of pastors today who've given up and they just sort of stopped and boy, I'll tell you what, I don't know what they're doing on the mountainside, but it sure ain't going forward. And I'll say this, if you ain't going forward, amen, you're going backwards. Christians who've quit climbing. We've heard it, and I'm not going to continue to rehash it, but we've got a lot of preachers today in America that have quit preaching. They still deliver sermons, sort of. But old-fashioned preaching is a thing of the past. I've been in churches, and I'm sure your brothers that are in the ministry of evangelism have as well, where you show up and the pastor says, well, I just want to let you know, we don't really have invitations here that much anymore. I always ask them, well, why'd you stop doing that? Well, people don't come anymore. Sure they do. We quit preaching. We quit having invitations. Whatever happened to Wednesday night prayer meetings? In the very, very few, which is probably less than about 30% of the churches I'm in, Of course, I'm doing revivals on Wednesday night, but probably less than 30% of the quotas with independent fundamental Baptist Bible-believing churches, they don't even have what they call prayer meeting anymore. And certainly, they don't have a time of prayer. And if they do, if you pray more than 5 minutes, they're looking at you like, what kind of an oddball are you? We've stopped our soul-winning programs. We've turned our churches into coffee shops and fellowship halls. We put time limitations on the preaching of the Word. We have so organized our services that we've boxed out God and the Holy Spirit of God. So what's happened? We've quit climbing. The Bible tells me that Abraham went on and he climbed. Amen. He didn't go backwards. He didn't halt his forward momentum for the Lord. He went on. I want you to look at something very quickly in 2 Corinthians. Well, let's just go to 1 Corinthians for a minute. I'll maybe bypass this other passage. For sake of time, the Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. In verse 16 it says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of." Amen and amen. 1 Corinthians 9:16, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly," there it is, that word willing, amen, "I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel." Hey, look up here for just a minute. You know what can happen to us as preachers? We can get in the groove of doing what we're doing because it's what we're supposed to be doing. Amen. We've got to be careful of that. It's got to stay anew and fresh to us each and every day of our lives. Well, I'm up here preaching, you know, because that's what I'm supposed to be doing, amen. I'm going out on soul. That's what I'm supposed to be. My visitation, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. My sermon, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. Preparing my sermons, pastoring my people, holding meetings, whatever it is, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. We need to be careful that we don't do what we're doing because it's what we're supposed to be doing, but we do what we're doing because we desire to serve the King. Amen. So why is that critically important? Because that'll keep you climbing on the mountain. You get into a groove and it's, hey listen, we all, every one of us have done it. I've done it. Brother Terry, I know you've done it. Brother Fadena, I know that you've done it. Pastor Gilmore, I know that you've done it. At some time in our life, we find ourselves in a groove going through the motions and we got to stop and say, "Lord, hey, help me to have the right spirit, amen, and to do this because I want to do it. I'm willingly, amen." That's what will keep us climbing on that mountain. Brethren, we've got far too many casualties. We've got far too many people who've turned around. We've got far too many people who have quit. We've got a lot of people that are on the mountainside, but you know what? They're stagnant. They are no longer climbing. Some of them think, well, hey, here I am on the mountainside. Isn't this where God wants me to be? Nope. Nope, we're not there yet. We're not there yet. Yes, we've answered the call. Yes, we've begun to climb. But we're not there yet, and I'll show you that in just a minute. I want you to see the call. I want you to see the climb. But then I want you to get this. The Bible says this in verse 9. Genesis chapter 22. "And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood." You know, I'm reading this verse, and I have to say, there must be something here that's missing. God didn't tell the whole story in verse 9, and he doesn't have to, but you know what God left out? God left this part out, Brother Fadena. He left out the part where Abraham told Isaac, "You're the ram." And he left out the part where Isaac went like this. "What do you mean I'm the ram? You ain't putting me on that altar, Pops. No, you ain't going to do that, Dad." And he said, "Yes, sir, son." He said, "Turn around. I got to bind you." And Abraham went after Isaac. And they broke out in a fierce battle. I mean, they came to blows. Son against father. Father against son. I mean, Isaac was punching and kicking for his life. And Abraham finally had to get the very best of them and beat them to the ground and half kill them on the ground and struggle with them and hog tie them up. God left that part out. Can you imagine what kind of a fight and what kind of a battle it was for Abraham? I mean, the glory of a young man is his strength.
Boy, Abraham must have been one tough old bugger, amen. He got the best of Isaac, and he finally got him tied up, amen, and wrestled him over there and slammed him down on that altar. That's not how it went, is it? You think about this. Boy, let this set in deep. Good message for fathers today. Abraham said, son, I love you. Son, you're the sacrifice. It's your blood that's going to spill on this altar. I'm going to have to slay you, take your life. I'm going to have to kill you, Isaac, on this altar. And then burn your body. How many sons would say to their father, yes, sir, daddy. Hello? You know what that tells me? Yes, I see obedience. But I tell you, one thing that God struck me with early on in the ministry, he said, man, and this is the man, I mandated this in my home. One thing that, I mean, when you want to talk about tough, there was zero tolerance in my house for direct disobedience. I mean, I squashed it like someone would squash a bug, and my kids knew that. Hey, they had a fear of God in them when it came to being disobedient. So why are you so tough? Because I'll tell you one thing. If they never learn to be obedient to their earthly father, they will never be obedient to their heavenly father. You look at Isaac and you say, well, why was there no struggle that ensued? Why didn't Isaac say, no way, I'd run it. And Abraham had to chase him down and beat him up and tie him up. You know why that didn't happen? Hey, when Abraham told Isaac, I guarantee old Isaac turned around and put his hand there. He said, go ahead, father. He said, bind me up. Bind me up, father. He said, why would any boy do that? Let me tell you something. That is not a testimony to the obedience of Isaac. That is a testimony to the faith of Abraham. Amen. You said, what are you talking about? Isaac looked at his daddy and he said, Dad, he said, I know the faith that you have and the God that you serve. And he said, your faith is my faith. Amen. I'm telling you what happened there that day. Man, was a testimony to Abraham. Hey, Isaac looked at his father and he said, I know your God. I know the one that you serve. And he said, I've seen your true faithfulness and I've seen your walk with that God. And he said, Dad, I don't understand it all, but I have faith in your God because your faith has shined as a light and a testimony to your son. Man, I don't know about you, but I mean, that sends chills up and down my spine. I look at it, so God, I want my boys, I want them to look at their dad and say, I see that in my father. I'm going to have that same faith. And he did. And then the Bible says this. Verse 9 again, they came to the place which God had told them of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. Listen, I want you to see the call today and I want you to see the climb today, but I want you to see the commitment. Some of us can look and say, well, Abraham made the commitment when he answered the call. No, he did not. Some might say, well, Abraham made the commitment when he made the climb. No, he did not. Let me tell you something today, brother. I tell you, when Abraham made the commitment, he made the full commitment when he went all the way to raising the knife. When he stretched forth his hand and raised the knife, he was fully committed to plunging that knife into his own son. There was no holding back. There was no hesitation. There was no reservation. He was going all the way for God. What we need today is some men and some women and some Christians who say, I'll answer the call, yes. I'll make the climb, yes. But I will go all the way to raising the knife for my God. That's where there is no holding back. Boy, Abraham did it. Praise the Lord, he did it. Then he heard that voice in verse 11. The angel of the Lord called out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham! I guarantee you there was urgency in that, because let me tell you something. Abraham had forward momentum when he was backing up the knife, amen.
You say, what do you mean? I mean, when he started to draw that knife, it was forward momentum, amen, because there was no hesitation. He was just getting some ramming speed, amen, to send that knife in the direction it was going to go. Hey, he wasn't stopping. He wasn't saying, well, I'm going to do this. And let's see, Lord, are you going to stop me? Absolutely not. God looked at his heart and God said, there he is, man. He's gone all the way to raising the knife. And there was urgency. It wasn't just one call. Abraham, Abraham! Yes? You know what's interesting about this? We see the call, we see the climb, we see the commitment, but we see the consequence. You know, we have this idea that consequences always are bad things, amen. It just means it's going against the sequence of events. Right now, you see Isaac about to be slayed on that altar. He's about to die. His blood's about to be shed, amen. His daddy's about to burn up his body. But you know what? For his faithfulness, the sequence of events is about to turn around. And I want you to see this, and then I'm done. He answered by faith. He went by faith. He committed by faith. But watch this now, Genesis chapter 22. The Bible says this in verse 15. The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, number one. And I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, number two. And the sand which is upon the seashore, number three. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, number four. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Fivefold blessing, Abraham. Hey, let me ask you a question. How many say, hey, I'd like to have the blessings of Abraham on my life? Put your hand up in the air. Amen. Everybody in this room should say, yep, I'd like to be blessed in that manner. He was blessed. Abraham was mightily blessed. But you know what? We all want the blessings of Abraham, but we're not willing to answer the call to make the climb or to make the commitment and go all the way to raising the knife. Abraham was mightily blessed because he mightily sacrificed. You know what? Paul raised the knife. You look at the New Testament. When I talk about Bible characters and studies, I just look at this very quickly in 2 Corinthians. And by the way, again, I said this earlier. I'm going to say it again. The next time we decide to moan and groan or whine a little bit because what God's laid on us has been too hard or too heavy, you just think about what Abraham went through, amen. Think about what Paul went through. Look what the Bible says here. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Read a couple verses out of 2 Corinthians 11. Verse 23 says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure. Can't count all the stripes. In prisons, more frequent. How many times? Hey, the scriptures, I don't believe the scriptures record all the times that Paul was cast into prison. Amen. In death's oft. How many times he came close to death? Who knows? Not everything is recorded in the Bible. Everything we need to know is recorded in the Bible. Amen. But not everything is recorded in the Bible. Of the Jews, 5 times received thy 40 stripes, save one. Amen, that's 39 for those of you who weren't good in math. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. Man, that's an awful lot. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often. And hunger, in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Paul knew what it was to sacrifice. And that was that same Paul who went all the way, he raised the knife. Hey, he finished his course, amen. He didn't just answer the call. He didn't just make the climb. He went all the way to making the commitment. And watch this now. That's what God wants out of each and every one of us Christians.
What a great blessing Abraham received. We all would love that. Amen. Man, we all, hey, oh boy, that's what I want. I believe God returns bountifully to those who are willing to sacrifice, don't you? Amen. So Brother Curlin, but I sometimes get discouraged. I mean, the place I think that God wants me is afar off. You think about Joseph this afternoon. He endured some hardship, didn't he? He made some huge sacrifices. Well, he was 17 years old when God gave him the dream. You think about being sold off into slavery at 17. He was still pretty much just a kid, Pastor Gilmore, 17 years of age. But all those days he laid in prison, Lord, what about the dream? Lord, that was your vision. He knew it was God's vision. He knew it wasn't the devil that told him that. God, this is what you told me was going to happen. Lord, I'm laying here in this prison house. Gets out and gets in. Amen. He's becoming a regular to captivity and bondage. There's times I'm sure he could have said, this is a bunch of hogwash. This is a bunch of nonsense. Lord, you give me this dream, and Lord, you've proven yourself to be a liar. But he never said that. He never said that. 17 years old he was when he got the dream. 39 when it came to reality. That's 22 years of making the journey, amen, and climbing the mountain by faith. Still going. You've heard it said, and so have I, a ministry without sacrifice is a ministry without success. Brethren, we are living in some difficult and dark days. Now is not the time to quit, but it is the time to commit. To go all the way to raising the knife and honor our Lord and receive the bountiful blessings of God upon our life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we've all heard this story of Abraham many times in our life, but I pray that we would again observe the call, the climb, and the commitment to raise the knife. Lord, in doing so, we know that you will bless and provide for thy servant. Father, we thank you for that. We ask now, Lord, that you'd help us to take this message to heart and to keep on climbing. In Jesus' name.